Thank God Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he heard that voice giving him that direction and that unction. And so God put it in Peter and John's heart. He said, he must have, you know, just as Jesus said, that I don't do anything on my own. The things I see my Father do, that's what I do. And so that gift of faith welled up inside of them, that anointing from the Holy Spirit, and they knew God wanted to do something. That's why when they saw him and he was looking at them expecting something, that boldness, that confidence was in them. They knew God was up to something. I'm sure they felt, got those Holy Ghost goosebumps probably on their arms when they saw this guy. And they were like, man, God is doing something today. And so they were bold. Now, I don't know why they didn't heal him before. You know, Bible doesn't say. I don't know why when people come up for prayer, sometimes they're healed and sometimes they're not. Could be a lot of different things. I don't know. Is it their faith? Is it our faith? It could be God's sovereign timing and power. Maybe back in the day, you know, God, I don't know. Maybe, you know, at one point Peter wasn't all that bold. Maybe he was afraid every time persecution came up, you know, when the girl accosted him, when Jesus was arrested. He said, I don't know that man. I swear I don't know that man. Maybe he didn't have the faith that God wanted him to have at that time for this guy's healing because he wouldn't be able to follow up like he can now. Maybe he did, you know, he was one of the same disciples that Jesus at one time had to rebuke and say, oh, ye of little faith, how long will I bear with you? Maybe he had to see Christ resurrected from the very dead to know that what God was able to do. Who knows what God's sovereign purposes were, but this day, God had a plan. And he put it on their heart. And so when that man looked at them expecting something, with Holy Ghost boldness, he said, look at us. Fix your eyes on me. And you'll notice, Peter didn't say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. Rise up and walk. Did he? Wasn't Peter. I don't have any money, but, you know, I got something else, so I'm going to heal you. Rise up and walk. What did he say? He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Praise God. That name, it's always only ever been about Jesus Christ. It is his authority. It is his power. It is his commission. This is Peter knew he was speaking to this man with covenant authority. Peter was a Jew. He was aware of covenants. He knew about the covenant God made with Abraham, the covenant that God made with Moses, the covenant that God made with David, the new covenant that Jeremiah and Ezekiel had prophesied about. He knew that when God covenants with people, he backs up his promises with his power. When God promises something, God will deliver that which he has promised. And so he has a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. He was under the commission of Jesus Christ. He had been told that in his name he was to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, and that these signs would follow them who believe. He knew he had been given authority from Jesus Christ before Christ ascended to the throne, and that when he was seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. So he had a commission from Christ. He had authority from Christ. He had a covenant with God through Christ, and he had been instructed by the Holy Spirit at that moment to use that power to perform that miracle in that name. That name. All of that is all wrapped up. Everything I said is wrapped up in that name. And when he spoke the name of Jesus Christ, all of those things were tied up in that name, and those words came out with Holy Spirit power. The power behind that name. It's just not a name. It's not something you say. Anybody can say Jesus. My daughter witnessed to a little girl when she was a little girl about Jesus, and the little girl told her that she wasn't supposed to cuss like that because the only time she ever heard Jesus was when her parents were cussing. How tragic is that? But that name, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, by somebody who has a covenant with God, they have been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, that name carries unimaginable power. Praise God. And so he was able to use that name with great faith. In fact, he had such faith at that moment. He knew what God was doing. He had such faith, he didn't even have to ask God about it. He didn't say, oh, Lord, I pray if you want to, you know, if you can somehow find the gumption to do it, or if you just would be so kind, if maybe you could consider in your spare time possibly thinking about healing this guy if it's your will. Yeah. It's that, thank you very much. Yeah. No. He had boldness. He knew what God was doing. He felt the anointing on him. He simply commanded him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. No asking about it. There was boldness and confidence there. He knew what God was up to because he was knit together heart to heart, spirit to spirit, and he sensed what his Father was doing. Now, the man was expecting something. You know, I don't know whose faith it was. Sometimes it's the faith of the person being healed. Sometimes it's the faith of the person, you know, administering the power to heal. Sometimes it's an intermediary like the centurion who went to Jesus on behalf of his servant. So I'm assuming it was Peter and John at that point. And the guy was expecting something. He wasn't expecting what he got. He was expecting maybe a little coin or a couple pieces of silver if he was lucky. But he had no idea this was coming down the road. Like the woman at the gas station, you know, she was expecting me to give her something. She never expected me to hand her $1 million, you know, even though it's only a gospel track. But praise God, man, Peter knew what God was up to. And so I want to take a few moments today to consider the power of the name of Jesus. And I know that there has been a bazillion teachings about the name of Jesus, sometimes, you know, to the point of just being superfluous. And I don't want to just, you know, rehash the same old stuff. I pray the Lord would give us some fresh insight and understanding, because that name, that holy, sacred, powerful, eternal name of Jesus Christ that God has given us in covenant with him, is something so priceless and valuable and precious that we need to lay a hold of everything that God has for us in that covenant name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I just want to take a few moments today to go through and see, what is it that we are saying when we do something in the name of Jesus Christ? What are we doing? What are the blessings that we inherit through that name? And let me say this before I get started. You know, God, I mentioned this before, God is a covenant God. He deals with men and he makes covenants with men. And it's interesting, whenever he makes a covenant with man, you will see a name associated with that. He reveals his name to that person through that covenant. When he made a covenant with Abraham and said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, and multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. Scripture says that Abraham knew God through the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. I imagine because Abraham had been barren, he wasn't able to conceive children, and yet God said, I'm going to make your descendants like the sand of the sea. And so when he made that covenant with him, Scripture says he knew him as El Shaddai, God Almighty. And then it says when he made the covenant with Moses, the law, the Mosaic covenant, he says, Abraham didn't know me or experience me by the name that I'm revealing to you. He said, the covenant name through Moses was, anybody know? I am that I am. The tetragram, the YVH, well, Yahweh, essentially, in Hebrew, without the vowels. I am that I am. That covenant name that we often pronounce as Jehovah or Yahweh was the name that Moses related to God. That was the name, that was the self-existent name that he is, and all things find their dependence upon him and get their existence through him. And that he, if you study commentaries, they also say in that name, with Abraham, it was just a promise yet to be fulfilled. When he revealed himself to Moses, it was a name that says, this is being fulfilled in my relationship and covenant with you. And so when he comes to us with a new covenant, made in the blood of Jesus Christ, where he died to pay the price for our sins and rose again from the dead, he gives us a name to relate to him by. Every time he makes a covenant, he gives us a name, so that as we relate to God on the basis of that name, then we inherit those blessings that come through that covenant. What does the name Jesus mean? Savior. Praise God. Yahweh saves. It's related to the name Emmanuel, if you remember the Christmas story, which means God with us. The angel said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise God. So, let's move on. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, the covenant God, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be given to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive till the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now, he starts talking about these guys that God had made a covenant with, Abraham, Moses. He starts talking about the prophets, Samuel and all the prophets, and these people that God had said that this time was coming through. And he's dropping names right and left. And then he says, you know what? All of those things, fine and well, but it's this name, through faith in this name, that has made this man whole. So it's not just the name on its own. It's the name through faith in his name that brings us all these blessings that I'm going to talk about. So, number one, through his name, we have the forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43, Scripture says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." I mean, that's awesome. I mean, when you consider that when you stand before God at the end of your life on that judgment day and you give an account of everything you have done and everything you have said, everything you have left undone that you should have done, your whole life is laid bare before you, before a holy and a just God, and you have to stand and be judged as to whether you are guilty or innocent of disobeying God. And if you are innocent, heaven is there, but if you're guilty, hell gapes before you, where there is wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth, separation from God in judgment forever in the flames of hell. On that day, I don't know about you, but I want to know my sins are forgiven. When I stand before God on that day, I don't want him to say, "Oh, John, guess what? What about this thing and that thing? And you remember this other thing and all these other times?" And as I've said before, if you tell three lies a day or you commit three sins a day, by the time you're in your 30s, you committed about 35,000 sins. So when you stand before God on that day, will you be guilty or innocent? Guilty. Even if he cuts it in half, you're still guilty of about 17,500. So I want to know on that day that my slate is clean, my account has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I want to know that I stand before God forgiven, cleansed, and righteous in his eyes.